I think it's worthwhile for us to have a bit of an introduction to the world of Kachim. We're in the Parshios of Vayikra, of Sefer Vayikra right now, of the world of Kachim and Taros. And I think it's good to have an introduction prior to us beginning to actually learn a little bit of Tamid Nishchat. And I want to try to make the case for why it is considered to be, why it's a valuable limud, and a couple of things to know about it. We'll have some mekoros here, maybe even a little bit of chizuk about the limud, and then we'll try to have some practical ha'aras also, just to be aware about the nature and the way that kachim, that the limud of kachim actually works. Let me begin like this. It is known, I think we all know this, that in the variety of, that in most yeshivas, in most, although certainly not all, there is less limud of kachim and taros and probably elements of zrayim than there are the sections that are typically more relevant, or in the minhag yeshivas, is nashim and the zikin. Some of that is already found already in Mekoros. Rabbi Lam, in an article we'll talk about a little bit later, quotes a tshuva of the Tashbeis, a tshuva of the Chavas Yair, that there were those that expressed elements of hesitations, or at least the knowledge that, like, many people don't get up to it, don't learn the sugyas of Kachim at all, because it's not as practical, it's not as geared to the world of Halach Lamaisa and to our world. Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef published years ago, I think, what he called an Igeres Leben Torah, in which he argued, it's a long discussion, a little bit about Derech HaLimud. So there, in classic sort of like Ravadia-inspired ways, speaks a lot about the importance of learning things that are practical, halacha and halacha lemaisa. I don't think he's so thrilled with the way that even in yeshivas they learn, you know, Nashim and Nezikin. I don't think the Darim gets him so happy either. I think much more the world of Gemara Shabbos and Gemara Chulin. And even if you're learning other things that should be done with a certain end of... With a certain focus of halach lemaisa, so there are those that were certainly very, very much into the practical, and even if not, so there were other reasons why, let's say, the worlds of Nashim and Nezikin is still much more relevant. The world of Gemara Ksubas, which we learned last week, Gemara Kiddushin, sugyas about marriage and sugyas there, discussions about Shabbos and Avelas, and even questions about Sfeikal, a lot of things come up a lot in the world of halacha, and Kachin is perceived to be, you know, somewhat different. Both because of these reasons and as a result of these reasons, there's much less written on Kachim. That if you're, when you're learning Kachim, you don't have the same degree of, at least in most Masechtas, the same amount of Rishonim that we are typically familiar with when we are learning. So if we're learning Gemara Ksubis, there's Gemara Rashi and Tosfos, you have that here also. There's a Meiri, okay, we got that here also. There's a Rambam, but you also have Ramban, Rashba, and Ritva. You have a lot of the other kinds of Rishonim, and a lot of the classical Achronim, and Nashim and Nezikin. So I learn a lot of Ketzos, and a lot of Avnei Miluim, and you learn Sheshmaisa, and you learn a lot, and then Sivas is there, and even a lot of the Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva. So you have Svarim from a lot of the Rosh Yeshivas on the Nashim and Nezikin, and a little bit of Moed, a little bit of those Limudim, but you have less written in the world of Kachim. And as a result of that, it becomes in many ways neglected. I think Rabbi Yehuda Chassid termed the phrase about Masechtas, people not learning, as being like Begeder and Meis Mitzvah, which people should try and help and support. But there's definitely those who downplayed the limit of it, and we are familiar with that. Nevertheless, there are a couple who very much emphasized the importance of Limud of Kachim. And the one that is most prominent, I think, that we would be aware of is actually not the two that are most prominent, but the first we'll speak about is the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim, in both a small sefer called Tzipisa LeYeshua, as well as in the introduction to Sefer Likutei Halachos, makes a very, very strong push for the importance of learning Kachim. A very strong push. In the Hakdama Likutei Halachos, he makes a push even binosaf, in addition to, or perhaps even more valuable than we'll see, than learning some other Masechtas. The first thing the Chavetz Chaim points out in the Maimar Tzipisa LeYeshua, he says, you know, just imagine the embarrassment if Mashiach comes, and Mashiach's here, and we have a Beis HaMikdash, and we have to tell Mashiach that we need Al Kolpanim Eza Shavuos or Chadash, we need weeks or months to be able to familiarize ourselves with the basic details of what we have to do with Karbanos. Forget Kohanim, even Yisraelim, there are a lot of important things we have to know about when they're chayv a carbon, how to bring a carbon. And says the Chavetz Chaim, we have to be ready and prepared, Tzipisa LeYeshua, to make sure that when it comes, we'll be okay. Says the Chavetz Chaim, but aren't you going to say, well, maybe Eliyahu HaNavi is going to teach us? The Mefarshim tell us, Teiku, Tish B'yish V'kuchis V'abayot. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, and he's going to teach us all the halachas. Says the Chavetz Chaim, Eliyahu HaNavi, when he comes, Bizman La'asid Lavo, is going to answer the kashas that we had, that we couldn't resolve on our own. he's not going to be a private tutor for each person that just didn't put in the time to learn the basic halachas properly. That's not going to be, Navi can't save us for that. So to be able to prepare, said the Chavetz Chaim, Mashiach's going to come, we want to make sure that we're going to be ready to know a lot of the basic halachas. But more than that, he says, V'nei desak damenuk di halachos, be'emes me'olam yipalili. It was always so odd to me, tachat shtrei yutzrikim laharbos b'limit ha'seder hazeh. We should learn more kachim, me'od yoser mi'acherim, more than other mesechtas. Why should we learn it more than other mesechtas? So says the Chavetz Chaim, an astounding thing. The Gemara tells us in Mesechas Menachos, a Gemara in the end of Mesechas Megillah as well, that when a person reads Karbanos, or Zos Torah Karbanos, or learns about Karbanos, it's as if they were makriv the Karban. It's as if they were makriv the Karban. While something that's a general phenomenon sounds in Chazal, that dafkin shalma parm sfasenu, dafkin regards to kachim, when a person learns kachim, it's ki'ilir makriv the Karban. So says the Chavetz Chaim the following idea. Whenever you learn, you're yotz the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Whenever you learn, you're yotz the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But when you learn kachim, binosaf to the regular mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you know what you're getting? You're getting the mitzvah of ki'ilu your makriv karbanos. So if a person's chayv a karban, so then Tzitzchav Tzchaim the following. Imagine the Beit HaMikdash we found out today was built. People would travel to the Beit HaMikdash for sure to offer karbanos to get kapara. Let's say I know there was a mitzvah asay I didn't fulfill. And I could bring a karban ola to get kapara for that. Wouldn't people travel to go to Yerushalayim? People spend lots of money to get kapara for their sins by going to Yerushalayim to bring karbanos. Says the Chavetz Chaim, well, instead of traveling when it's around, you know what you could do? You can open up a Talmud Nishchat. You can open up a Gemara Zvachim. And then you get kapara for those things as you're learning it. Sha'olim imatim b'seder kachim. Od asher kimat. He says, it seems like people don't really know it so much. But Rova Talmidim einim yodim. Be'ezra Hashem min ha'karbanos. Afilu mashin ne'emar ben psukim rabim. There are some people that can't even make their way through Shnayim Mikra of Parshas Vayikra. So many of the psukim, they can't go. And he says, it's pasha. If they would tell us the mikdash was built, we would all go. We would never be lazy. We'd go spend money to go to Eretz Yisrael to bring it. So he says, alachas kam v'kama now, all the more so that it is. Especially if you believe, points out to Chavetz Chaim, that tzipisa Yeshua, I want to wait for Geula to come. So it's ki'ilu, if I know there's a real, real chance, I want to make sure that I'm going to be investing and I'm going to be doing whatever I can. In that sense, Chavetz Chaim gives us one element of the chashivas of the limud of kachim. In Brisk, as many of us know, in the world of Brisk, in Yeshivas Brisk Yerushalayim, they learn primarily the Kachim Mesechtas. They learn Kachim Limudim. Why do they learn Kachim Limudim? What motivates the Kachim Limudim? So there are a couple different things that are sort of out there. I think there's about three different that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are more, and I'm sure people are cholik on each of these. But three kind of general ideas that are out there. One idea is because kachim, at least in our familiarity, so when I start learning Meseches Kiddushin, so I'm informed by what I think marriage is based on what I've seen, let's say, Lamashal, based on what I'm familiar with in this world about what marriage looks like. So when I start learning Meseches Kiddushin, this is the way some people say it over, when I start learning Meseches Kiddushin, so I'm always comparing and contrasting to the secular, to the mundane, to what takes place here. When I learn kachim, I'm not comparing it to other forms of Near Eastern sacrifices. Most of us don't enter with that kind of a thing and wouldn't view it as valuable. What I'm doing when I'm sitting down and I'm actually going to be learning it, I'm assessing it in pure Torah terms. I'm not comparing carbon ola to what I saw on TV yesterday or what I saw on TV when I was younger. I'm comparing carbon ola to carbon asham. It's pure Torah. And in that sense, something very, very powerful about the idea of sort of pure Torah when the way that we're going to approach it. There is a second idea. Rav Steinman quotes this in the Elebe Tamar of Brisk. So there, Rav Steinman quotes it. He has some hesitations about it. Rav Schechter, when the Sefer just came out recently, has some real hesitations about this. Also, the Rav was before not like this. But the way at least some quote, it seems, again, not good to, some quote to Brisker Rav, is that you know why Kachim is awesome? Because Kachim is dealing with all Dine Doraisa. Everything talking about Kachim, these are Dine Doraisa. We don't have that many Dine Dorabana in the same way. I'm learning Dine Doraisa. Why is it valuable to learn Dine Doraisa? So there may be this kind of svara out there that if I learn Torah, which is only Dorabana, and it's Nechshav Kibitl Torah, Midoraisa. On a Dorabana level, you were learning. But according to the Torah, that was Bitl Torah. That was Torah, Midoraisa. So most don't assume that way. Or such a thing that's impossible. The Salvechik used to say it all the time. Even Dine Dorabana, they're a Chefta Shel Torah, Midoraisa. And of course, you're still Yotzei it. But some quote in the Dilgat the Brisker Rav that it's more focused on Dine Doraisa. At minimum, maybe it's a greater Kiyam of Talmud Torah. He suggests, again, that many don't buy it that way. But there is something else about Kachim, which I think is probably a little bit more of what drew Brisk to it. Parenthesis, I think it's probably what drew Shimon to Dini Mamanos and Shari Yosher. And that's the following kind of an idea. That in the world of Brisk, the perspective is as follows. The goal is not always to explain why things are the way they are. It's not always explaining why things are the way they are. Whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam says it is what it is. And my job is to understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam says. In that sense, in Brisk, you often find an idea that certain things are like Gzeiros HaKesuvim. It's Gzeiros HaKesuvim. It's a din that comes. It's a din that comes. Why? So the way they always say it over in yeshivas is that Reb Chaim asked the question of what, and Reb Shimon asked the question of why. But by Brisk sometimes, the why is more philosophizing. The goal is to understand the what of what's taking place. What exactly is occurring? What exactly is there? What are the nature of the dinim? And in that sense, not to try to give, it's a little bit, the svaras are a little bit different. I want to understand the purpose of Karban Ola, and we'll see the svaras there, but it's a little bit different as far as like some of like the real, like, but why did it have to be that Shechita was done B'tzafon and not B'darom? Like, why was that so? We can think about the nature of the requirement for Shechita to be B'tzafon, but it's going to be a little bit different. Even Dini D'Rabbanan have more svaras, like, what motivated D'Rabbanan to do it? I don't know what motivated God to establish certain things about Karbanos, but we can establish, again, this will become clear at this point, Ezra Shem, as we learn it, but it can be somewhat more explicit elements of the Gezeris HaKasav, of defining, understanding Ratzon Hashem as Ratzon Hashem. Rabbi Lam, Zichron Levracha, when YU started its Kol Elyon. So the first time they had a Kol Elyon, the first Lima that they had, or the first time they had a Kol Elyon that was endowed by the Wexner and Baron families. So they the first Limud was in Meseches Zvachim. So Rabbi Lam wrote about, you know, it's an interesting thing, because you would have thought that what would make the most sense to learn would be something more practical. You're trying to train future Rabbanim, give them something which is more practical. And Rabbi Lam makes an amazingly astounding, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece, but it's one that I think is very, very important. Rabbi Lam pointed out that, and this is true, he was writing this, I guess, 20 years ago, that you live in a world where there's a lot of technological advancement and a lot of focus on the practical and the pragmatic, and a lot of focus on what can I do that's going to be most helpful for me. How do I take things and make it most practical? I have problems. What can I create? What invention can I find to make my life somewhat easier? I have a hard time getting information. So then we can invent something called the internet, and we can have something called Google. I have a hard time being able to get this tube. So we invented something where I can order online. That's gonna, there are different things that a person can invent to deal with problems. But Lam points out, he was arguing it many years ago. I think, unfortunately, it's probably only gotten worse, that people have a similar relationship to Torah, that they view Torah as an opportunity to solve their problems. I have questions and I have problems. I have things that I'm wondering about. And the goal of Torah is that Torah can come and it can address my problems. It can address the issues on my mind or the struggles that I have. It is there to, it's there in that sense. It's there to be able to have practical value. In that sense, so much of our world, if something has no practical value, so then it's not valuable. We can, you know, equate practical value and actual value. And that's why, I'll just, you know, go for that second. If you're into this, you know, scene, what people major in college has shifted enormously towards only majors that are more practical, that can help me get a job, help me do this, and majors that are more abstract, that don't provide that the same way, are increasingly less popular. It is true, says Rabbi Lam, that there's a value of learning, asuke shmaisa aliba dehelchasa, of learning in a way which is going to be practical. But it's also really important that we address and understand that Torah is not only about what is practical and so that we can know what to do. Torah is Torah Hashem. And sometimes the purest way of demonstrating an appreciation for what Torah really, really is when you learn a Torah which is not practical. It's a Torah which is not about what it can do for me. It's a Torah which is Torah Hashem. And it's a Torah in particular, as Rabbi Lam quotes in the Medrash Rabbah, Mitzvah Hashem bara me'iris einayim, me'iris einayim, what kind of mitzvahs open our eyes, give us light? Zeh Seder Kachim, shumeir einayim bein chulim lekachim. It enters us into a world of Kedusha. Enters into a sensitivity of where is the holiest place. We are focusing on Inyanei Kedusha, on the holiest of places, on the Mishkan, but then eventually the Beis HaMikdash. We're focusing on the ideas of Kedusha and Hashoras Hashchina, and it's important to be osek in that, not because of now what I'm going to be able to do with it, but because learning Torah is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, is incredibly, incredibly holy. Many of us may know that Beis HaLevi points out in the Tshuva that there are two elements of mitzvah Talmud Torah. We learn Talmud Torah to know what to do. We also learn Talmud Torah as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. One of the best demonstrations of Talmud Torah as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, of chachma, of elokus, of an understanding of the chashivas of Torah, is I'm learning pure, unadulterated Torah. If the Chavetz Chaim is right and it becomes practical tomorrow, hinei matov v'mana. What a beautiful thing if it becomes true and it's practical, l'maisa. And if it's not practical, what a beautiful thing of being able to approach Torah in a way which is about the significance of Torah. The significance of Torah is something which is eino ba rak liftor bayot miyuchadot, not that there's not problems. It's something which is yisod hakedusha. It's not about relevance. It's about holiness, and that's in many ways what the limit of kachem is about. I want to share a couple just important things to know about the limit of Talmud Mishkan, so we can be ready. Number one. We're focusing a little bit on Karban Pesach, but also on some of the other karbanos that are present as an attempt at being able to understand what exactly is going on. The limit of kachem sometimes. There are a couple things to know. Number one, we often move a little bit quicker in kachem. We move a little bit quicker as far as just lines in the Gemara because there's less Rishonim, at least, and therefore things tend to move a little bit quicker. And sometimes instead of seeing, there used to be four shitas or five shitas, and then there's two shitas or three shitas because there's just less written in the world of kachem. That's actually very helpful sometimes for being able to focus. Number two, this is true in many new mesechtas, but especially many new limudim, you sort of, I'll say it inappropriately, or that you make new friends. Suddenly there were svarim that were not as, not used the same way, but suddenly in some of these svarim, so we've quoted a little bit of tzlach, maybe a little bit more tzlach right now, but the svasemes becomes very, very important. The world of brisk, of the brisker rav, the chazanish who wrote a lot of things becomes somewhat more relevant, that sometimes there are people who maybe we don't learn as much or as often in general, but this really is their area, so we spend a little bit more time sometimes with some of the Gedolei HaChronim and Gedolei Rashi who did write about it, and that's important to know. The third is that we'll see, and I think this is probably the most important point, it is a little bit of a different style, it's a little bit of a different methodology, Tovus Nisvachman Daf Dalet, but in many ways, it's the same Lima that we've always had. It's the exact same Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. It's the exact same Rambam, it's the exact same Meiri. It's the exact same Tzlach, it's a lot of the same names, it's a lot of the same kinds of Svaras, a lot of the same kinds of ideas. We're going to see that there are ideas, we'll see this already next week, that there are a lot of Halach L'maisa Nafkaminas that come from our Perek. When you can daven Mincha is a Tamid Nishchat Sugya, as we will see, Be'ez Hashem, the earliest time to daven, and the latest time to daven, and the best time to daven. These are all sugyas that are going to come up here, and there are other sugyas also that come up that have a degree of real sort of like practical. In fact, it's a more abstract limud. It's very, very similar to what we're used to. It's very regular in that sense, and we're hopefully going to be able to do a good job to open up that door. I would never argue that here in the yeshiva we should become a brisker branch. For a bunch of reasons, and we start learning kachem, exclusively. I don't think that's what we need to be doing at all, nor is that wise. I do think for a kaitzman has a capacity to really open up doors, and that suddenly a lot of even just the shnayim mikra of the psukim, is something which can become very, very helpful, and we can sort of become more familiar with. There may be some shiurim in which we are, and here's the important thing, because there's sometimes less on the daf, so sometimes in kachem, especially to get the background, you have to go a little bit off in order to be able to come back in, and something will be a little bit more off at times, again, although not always, and the goal is to give enough background, enough information, that Be'ez Hashem will be able to be as successful as possible.